coming up, we've got some quirky products, including an HP touchscreen, a little media streamer, and the hottest camera phone on the market today. It's time to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. Before You Buy is brought to you by Gazelle, the fast and simple way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone is worth at Gazelle.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Before You Buy, the product review show. I just gave myself a splitter from this table. How does Tom Merritt do? Oh, now I know why Tom left and moved to L.A. He doesn't want to get any splinters. This is the show where we get some great products in, thanks to Shannon Morse, our producer, and we give our TWiT staff a chance to take a look and review it. Shannon, do you pick first? Do you get to pick the things you want to review?
I let you pick first, sir.
Smart woman. Well, this time you got something kind of interesting. It's a Windows 8 Ultrabook from HP.
It is. So this is called the HP Spectre XT Touch Smart.
Okay. Okay. It looks good from out here. I mean, I'm not next to it.
Yeah, it's very pretty. It kind of has a MacBook Pro type feel to it, especially on the keyboard down here. But altogether, the thing is, it's a little bit less. It's $1,299.
Well, compare it. This is a $1,299 MacBook Air.
So that's MacBook Air.
So it's rough. It does look very similar, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, it's got the black keyboard and everything, and it's the same chiclet style. Yeah. But I liked some parts of it, and I didn't like other parts of it, unfortunately. So I'll go ahead and start with the design of the product.
Okay.
The bottom of it, you'll notice that there is no way to unscrew it.
Yeah.
They have all the regular screws that they would have on the bottom of it. But
no user serviceable
parts. Yeah. So when you buy this, you're stuck with what you bought. You can customize it when you purchase it. And you can get, you know, an i7 processor. And you can upgrade the solid state drive. But it just comes with a 500 gigabyte hard drive, and it has a 32 meg SSD just for caching.
Interesting.
So it does not let you actually store, you know, extra stuff on that SSD. It's just for caching.
It's transparent. The operating system does
exactly, which is unfortunate. Given the price of this, I would expect, you know, a smaller hard drive with a larger SSD, but it does not have that in there. It also has 8 gigs of RAM, which is great, and it is a Windows 8 device, so you get a nice touchscreen interface. Now, I really like this touchscreen. I was very impressed with this. It's 15.6 inches, so it's really big, and it's 1920 by 1280.
I also can see it. I mean, I'm almost side on, and I can see it
perfectly.
It's
an IPS screen, and it gets really, really, really bright.
Now, so, that's bad if you don't want anybody to read over your shoulder, but it's good if you want to share a movie with the family.
Yeah, exactly. So I do have this up all the way on brightness. Of course, if you're on the camera, it doesn't look as bright, but it's a very, very bright screen, so you get lots of color saturation. The blacks are really, really hardcore black, and it's beautiful. Beautiful. I love the screen, and that's probably my favorite part of this product. The keyboard was nice. It felt very normal for me as far as a laptop goes. And the touchpad is kind of interesting. You'll notice on it, it has concave sides to it. So it's very easy to move your hands across it
smart.
To get to the charms
it's
bar.
Like a little gutter around it.
Yeah, it's got a gutter. It's so strange, but I really liked it. It was very interesting for me to work with. It also includes Beats Audio up here.
And the speakers look nice and big.
Yeah.
There's that's the grill right there.
They're just slightly turned up towards you. So when you listen to things, it's nice and loud. So if I go up here and I'll go, I actually prefer to use the desktop on here. So let me go back to my desktop. So I'll bring up twit.tv and I'll give you a little bit of an example of how it sounds on here because it is pretty good. It gets very loud. So I'll go over to...
I like the unibody design. I think there's some nice design touches, a shiny bezel.
Yes, it is. It's all full aluminum, which is very nice as well. And it does have a very thin bezel around the touchscreen too. So it's
nice.
Very easy to get around on it.
Yeah.
Very simple to use. And I'll go back here. Let's play a video real quick. We'll play the last episode of Before You Buy.
Make it loud. Loud as you can go.
Loud, 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 loud.
It's a little tinny.
It is tinny, but it does get very loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's loud and tinny.
Yeah, loud and tinny, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So other than that, I'll go ahead and get into a little bit of the pros and cons. Also, it is 5 pounds.
Five pounds, yeah, is heavy.
Just a little bit.
You're kidding.
Under 5 pounds.
That's,
yeah, you want to feel
that's
it?
That's pretty hefty.
It's
wow.
Really heavy. Yeah.
For an ultrabook, that's unusual. Yeah, usually exactly. Around 3 pounds. That's interesting, yeah.
So my pros on this, love the touchscreen. It's beautiful. Beautiful IPS touchscreen and an excellent
design.
The design
is good looking. Yeah.
The excellent is very pretty. I like the brushed aluminum. That's something that I've always really, really piqued my interest.
A lot of ultrabooks are plastic, so it's nice that they
use
metal.
Yeah, exactly. But the cons on these are really serious cons. First of all, there's the battery life is horrible.
How long do you get?
3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so bad. I mean, they could have stuck something in here so much better. No consumer upgrades, which is a big bummer for me as well.
Unusual in ultrabooks, though.
I like to build things, and I like to be able to, you know, stick new hardware inside of them. So that's another downer for me. It's not as serious for most people, though. And, of course, the 32-gig solid-state drive. I mean, at this price point, I was very surprised to see that. And it kind of stuns me, especially since the processing power on this, whenever you do a PC mark or something like that, it's really low.
Is that an i5 you've got?
It's an i7.
That's an i7.
Third generation.
It's still third, not fourth, not Haswell.
Exactly, yeah.
You might get better battery life if they do a Haswell version.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to the next generations of this. Yeah. I hope that they do come out with the next generation because I would definitely like to give it a try.
One thing HP
I think the performance would be better.
One thing HP is not known for is the cleanliness of its installs. They usually have a lot of extra stuff on.
Yeah, there is a lot of bloatware on here.
a lot of crapware, you might call it.
Yeah, there's not too much on here, like
on the Metro screen,
but when you look at everything else, there's plenty.
A lot of trial wear.
Yeah, there's like a DVD thing on here. Yeah. It does have a lot of nice ports. It's got USB 3.0. It also has
SD
on
card slot,
the other side.
Yeah.
It has the Thunderbolt port, which is actually pretty nice.
Mini display port.
Yeah.
There's a difference. Is it Thunderbolt?
It is Thunderbolt. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
The Intel, what's
interesting.
It called? Smart
you don't
technology.
See a lot of Thunderbolt ports on PCs.
Yeah,
that's
so
good.
I was very surprised to see that. And then it does have HDMI, full Ethernet, another USB 3.0.
Well, it's pretty capable. They're not selling it as a low end. This is a
so it's very
kind
capable
of power machine.
You know, myself, I would have to give it a don't buy.
Okay.
And that's just because, like, I would expect so much more for this price point. And I was a little disappointed to see this, like, with this really nice touchscreen, but it just didn't really hit it for me.
A do not buy for the HP Spectre XT Touch Smart.
Yep.
World's longest name.
Can I put the screen on another laptop?
It is a pretty, I have to say, it's a pretty screen. I'm disappointed in the weight, too. It is a nice thin ultrabook, but boy, 5 pounds is a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny.
It's a lot.
Used to be, oh, that's light, but we've kind of gotten used to lighter weight ones. Thank you. Shannon Morse.
Thank you.
Produces Before You Buy, also is the host of ThreatWire on TechFeed at youtube.com/TechFeed. And not to mention Hack5. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Time to take a look now at a gaming keyboard, which is aptly named the Black Widow. Our red-headed widower. No, that doesn't make any sense.
He's a widower?
No, he's not.
Aw.
Chad. Chad Johnson has the review. Chad.
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy, and today I'm going to be reviewing a fully mechanical keyboard. But first, let's step into my office. Of course, when you're always riding a bike inside, you need to be safe. Always wear a helmet, kids. Okay, so this is the Razer Black Widow fully mechanical keyboard. This keyboard uses all mechanical keys. What do I mean by mechanical keys? Well, when you type, it sounds like this. These keys are actually Cherry MX Blue keys, and every single one of them is an actual mechanical keys. On other keyboards, you may find things like your function keys or your insert and home keys. Those won't be fully mechanical. On this keyboard, they are. This would be aimed at a gamer market, so some features that this keyboard has is 10-key rollover, which means you can be simultaneously pressing 10 keys at once. You also have 20 macro profiles and 5 macro keys if you want to program those. It also has live macro recording and even a game mode so that when you hold down function and enter game mode, a little light turns on and your Windows key is now shut off. You can also enable that to disable the F4 key or Alt-Tab so that you don't accidentally get brought out of your game. So the construction of the keyboard is really nice. The keycaps here, you can see underneath that it is green and it's glowing all the the time, even when there isn't the individually backlit keys glowing. Also, the cable is braided, which is kind of nice. It's nice and stiff, so it's not going to get tangled. So on the other end of this cable, you have your two USBs. One is for the keyboard, one is for USB pass-through. You also have cables for your headphones and your microphone, and those come out over here on the side of the keyboard, and it's a really easy place to get to, especially if you're swapping USB devices or anything like that. This is a sturdy keyboard. I definitely felt very satisfied while typing. Your fingers just beg to continue to type on this type of keyboard. Now, let's get into the pros and cons of this device. The first pro is that it is fully mechanical. Every single key is a Cherry MX Blue key. I also really enjoyed the USB pass-through along with the mic and headphones. And finally, I liked the backlighting. You can dim it all the way down or dim it all the way up. It gets very bright, so I could find the right setting for me. As far as the cons, I don't like the fact that the multimedia buttons are actually function keys. You have to hold down your function button and then hit, say, F6 to play. I really enjoy actual physical multimedia keys, and this keyboard doesn't have it. Also, the price of getting that backlight illumination is $40. Razer sells a version of this keyboard that doesn't have it, and it's $40 less expensive. And $40 kind of seems like an extra expensive jump to the next level. All things told, this keyboard comes in at $129.99, $130. Now, buy, try, don't buy for the Razer Ultimate Black Widow fully mechanical keyboard. I'm going to have to say try. This space is getting more and more crowded all the time, and also the fact that there are different types of Cherry switches. I found that the force of the keys was really satisfying and I really liked it, but maybe you're different. Maybe you don't like that loud click. I really suggest going into a gaming place or a tech place and trying this keyboard out, because maybe you just won't get used to the fact that it is fully mechanical. That has been my review of the Razer Black Widow Ultimate Elite Keyboard. Thanks so much for watching. I'm Chad Johnson.
I love the use of Nano and the PC type, you know, the IBM PC typeface. That really gives those. I don't know if it's buckling spring, but those old buckling spring keyboards, they feel so good.
I love those.
It's a little pricey, though, $130 for a keyboard.
Well,
I bought a
Logitech mechanical keyboard,
yeah, mechanical,
and it was about
expensive.
The same price.
Yeah. I don't know. I like it. I think it's good. Now, I can't use them because I'm on the radio show. You don't want to hear as I'm answering questions.
Whenever I sit at home and I'm doing an audio podcast, I have to secretly do it really slow.
Slowly tap quietly. Yeah, I love them, but I can't ever use them. Thank you, Chad Johnson. He produces a Twit and a number of other of the big crews, MacBreak Weekly, This Week in Google, and is also host and producer of his own show, OMG Craft, our Minecraft show on this network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, probably the hottest phone on the market, and that's saying an awful lot, the amazing Lumia 1020. Tony Wang's got the camera phone to kill all camera phones. He's a photographer. Let's see what he thinks in just a little bit. But before we do that, maybe I ought to tell you where you could sell your old phone. Tony's going, you probably should. I'll tell you, we do know new iPhones coming on September 10th. The new Galaxy Note 3 is coming September 4th. You can buy the HTC One in about a week on Verizon. There's lots of new stuff coming out, new tablets. Maybe new iPads. It's time to get a quote on your old one so you're ready to buy the new one. That's why I love Gazelle.com. Gazelle gives you a 30-day lock-in. So even if you're not sure you're going to want the new iPhone, get a quote on your old one now. You'll get the maximum price. And when the time comes, you can decide whether you want to sell it and buy the new one or not. I love that. Their data experts will wipe it, and you'll get paid fast with a check, PayPal, or if you want an extra 5%, get an Amazon gift card. If you buy a lot of stuff on Amazon, that's a great deal. Go and check how much your gadgets are worth. The new iPhone or the new HTC One, your Galaxy S4. Trade in the old stuff. Get the new stuff. Lock in the quote for 30 days. They even buy a larger selection of tablets now, including the iPad. You can get the Samsung tablets. You sell the Samsung tablets, the Google Nexus, Kindle Fire. They even buy Microsoft Surfaces. Wow. Or Asus tablets. Go to Gazelle now. Get an offer for your old stuff. Get some new stuff today. Those gadgets aren't getting any more valuable. G-A-Z-E-L-L-E, Gazelle.com. Join the over 500,000 customers who've been paid more than $100 million by Gazelle.com. And we thank them so much for their support of Before You Buy. It's a perfect show for them to be on, so we are showing you all the new stuff. Here's one I'm very interested in. I'm really glad that our camera guy, Tony Wang, got to review the Nokia Lumia 1020. You're also a Windows phone guy, so
yes,
you're the right
guy
to interview.
Yeah, I mean, I was an early adopter for Android, and you know,
you talked
that,
me into the Note 2.
Exactly, the original Note.
Or the Note 1.
Yeah, and before Android was, you know, I was using iPhone.
Right.
And I guess I got kind of tired of them, and so now I'm on Windows Phone, and you know, the 1020 is sort of the flagship.
It is, at least in terms of the camera, 41 megapixels.
So I want to clarify that it's 41 megapixel sensor, but effective area is only 34 megapixel.
I don't understand the difference. It doesn't use all 41.
Yeah, so it's almost like a waste. So like, imagine a circular sensor.
Yeah.
And you're taking picture in the middle.
Although 34 megapixels ain't bad.
Yeah.
That's still more than any, like a lot more than any phone out there.
Right. And I actually took a lot of pictures.
Do we have some images we can see?
We do. I took a lot of photos over the week. I only had the phone for a week.
Yeah.
But I've tried to take sort of day-to-day things that I would take pictures of. So, you know, cat, food, things I've...
The detail and the color are stunning.
It is.
How about low light? There's a sunset. Yeah. Amazing.
So I actually, so one of the features of this phone that none of the other Windows phone have is the Nokia Pro camera software.
Right.
That lets you do a lot of manual setting, manual focus, manual ISO.
It's kind of neat because they're on-screen dials, so it's a very
intuitive
effect. Somebody told me this would be a great way to learn how cameras work, what aperture means,
right.
You can see it right away.
Right, exactly, and you can set your ISO up to
look at that.
4,000.
That's a tunnel, that's at night, pretty amazing.
Yeah. But you can see in low light, sometimes you have some focusing issues.
Right.
But that's with every single camera phone. So
even regular cameras.
Yeah, there was some...
IKEA has lobsters now?
Yeah, they have crayfish now, apparently.
Do you have to build it yourself?
Yes. So this photo right here...
How is that? This looks like a double exposure.
It was a single exposure. It was a 3-second exposure.
So you kind of dragged the shutter, but... Obviously, you can't drag the shutter on a camera phone, but you did something sort
of
like
the only light source is those two lights over there.
That's amazing.
It's pretty amazing. 4,000
so you can
ISO.
Tell it to do a 3-second...
Yeah, up to 4 seconds.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
There's a very interesting macro of a beetle on your...
Yeah, it was just on my car for an hour, so I just took a picture. Some reviews say that they have a hard time doing macro shots, but...
You didn't have it.
No, I didn't have
it. I like
issues.
The depth of field.
Yeah,
too,
the depth of field.
Cool. Yeah.
So the default setting, you can take 34 megapixel plus a 5 megapixel JPEG. And you can actually go into the phone and you can pull out both versions.
So the 5 megapixel will be posting on social media.
Exactly.
And the larger one if you wanted to print it or
exactly.
Print it on
and I quality. I don't know if anybody mentioned this before, but previous versions of Windows Phone, they also do the same thing. So when you take a picture with an 8 megapixel Samsung It'll Focus S, it saves a smaller version for emailing. And
now, as far as a Windows Phone, it's a pretty standard phone, right?
Yeah, it's actually sort of an evolution of the 920.
Okay. That so was a very popular Lumia.
Yeah, it was a really good phone. So it's the 920 with updated camera.
Show us how thick it is, because that would be one concern. People see it. And there's a slight bulge from where the lens is, but
bulge.
It's not.
Yeah, so it's about 10 millimeter at the thickest point.
Okay. And you can slide it in your pocket pretty easily.
No problem.
And I noticed you bought a spec case. So there are cases available, or is that?
There's a few accessories available right now. You can get a wireless charging cover that lets you charge.
That's interesting, because the other Lumias have that built in.
Right.
You have to buy a separate cover.
Yeah, they're trying to make the phone as thin as possible.
Right.
So.
Right.
They took that out of the polycarbonate body. And there's also a camera battery grip that I haven't purchased yet. But,
that's kind of funny.
Right, and it gives you 1,000 milliamp battery power in the grip.
Yeah.
Exactly. And also
what is the battery life like on this?
So it's 2,000 milliamp per hour. So
it's a lot.
It's pretty good. I mean, on a day-to-day use, I get 12 hours.
Oh, that's probably good.
Before 5%. Yeah, so it's pretty good.
Did you use a 920 or a 928?
I tried it. I tried the 928.
How does this compare to that?
This is definitely the Windows phone to buy. Like, if you're looking for a Windows phone.
Don't even look at the other ones.
Yeah,
the 925, the aluminum?
No, I mean, I looked at that phone
but
as well.
You want the camera.
Yeah, the camera is really the selling point. And right now, I think this past week, the price just dropped to $249 from $299.
Hey, we're charging $300 with contract. And
exactly. Yeah, and depending on where you are in America, there's a couple states that actually have even better offer right now for $199.
Wow.
But not in California, so.
I think in time, they might drop even more.
Definitely.
But yeah. Pros and cons.
Oh, pros, definitely the camera.
Oh, yeah.
41 megapixel. And the built construction. I mean, this is sort of the fourth generation of polycarbonates from Nokia Lumia, you know, with 800, 900.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's
plastic, but you know what? It doesn't feel cheap at all.
Exactly. Unlike the Samsungs, this doesn't feel cheap.
Yeah. How is the screen integrated into the
It looks like they sort of pop it into the plastic.
Okay. Because so it's you feel there is an edge there to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a feature that only Nokia has at the moment for Windows Phone is if you just double tap the screen, it wakes the phone up.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. So you are able to add some things.
Yes.
You also get Nokia's apps. You like those.
Exactly. Yeah, those are actually exclusive to Nokia Windows phones.
The Hear apps.
Hear, the Drive app. You know, and the Drive app is Navtech, I believe, when they acquired it a few years ago. So you can download the maps.
It's good turn by turn.
Exactly. So if you don't have coverage reception, you can still navigate.
Are there any negatives?
Unfortunately, the only negative is Windows Phone.
Yeah, well, that's what's keeping me from buying it.
Exactly.
And it's not even that Windows Phone is bad.
It's not. It's just, it's still sort of growing.
It's beautiful. Though, it's nicely done. But there's apps that...
Right, like Path. I'm still waiting for Path.
I know. I love Path. And that would be great to have Path, which you can take pictures and share them with that.
Exactly.
It'd be beautiful. Have you shared on Facebook? Does it noticeably look better when you share a 1020?
Yes. I've had comments on my photos where, that's
would
really
you take
good.
That
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The Nokia Lumia 1020, try, buy, don't buy.
It's a buy.
Yeah.
For Windows Phone.
Are you going to buy it?
This is mine.
Oh, well, there you go.
It's the reason why I got a case, because I'm doing a two-year challenge. So
I thought
you
only had a week with it. Oh, you just got it.
I just got it.
Oh, I get it.
So I'm going to use this for the next 2 years.
No way.
That's the challenge?
I sold my Nexus 4 to buy this.
That's the challenge?
That's the challenge.
Well, I'm glad nobody ever challenged me. 2 whole years with one phone.
Yeah.
Well, we expect 2 years of great pictures from Tony Wang. Thank you, Tony. Tony is our editor-in-chief, does a great job. And I'm glad you're the one to try this out, since you already know and like Windows Phone. Pretty impressive. Yeah, everybody who has one seems to like it. Even Andy Anako is very happy with this. All right. Are you ready to get a little quirky? I am. Quirky is a very interesting company. They encourage inventors to bring them designs and ideas. They develop them with the help of the crowd, of the internet, and then they produce and sell them. This is the latest from Quirky, the Quirky Converge. We asked Ayaz Akhtar to take a look.
I'm Ayaz Akhtar with Twit, and this here is the Quirky Converge. Now, it looks like a document scanner or something, like maybe I could put paper in it. And no, you'd be wrong if you were doing that. That's why they give you these handy-dandy instructions. It says rest and recharge. And what this actually is a USB charging station for all of the gadgets you have. So let's say you've got a phone and you've got your USB cable. On the back of the device, we've got 4 USB ports and 1 power cable coming out the back, so you can rest your devices right on this to charge your devices. This is our open channel. It's actually a rubberized area. So I'm going to take my cable and pop it through. We'll connect our phone to the micro USB port right there. And it's charging, and you can see the little white light turns on. If you look at the back of the device, you'll see there's this channel. That's where your cables are supposed to live. There's no cable management about this. It's not like there's little posts where you can tie your cables. It doesn't come with any particular short cables. It has 4 USB ports on the back, but as you can see with these 2 large devices, this might not be the best for you. On the pros side, when it comes to a device like this, it is pretty simple. And thankfully, what Quirky has done is they have a very simple and clean design. If you're going to have a recharging station and you want it to look good, that's what Quirky has achieved right here. So it's a nice design. 4 ports should be enough for smaller devices. So if you've got an iPad or 2 or 3 iPads, you probably don't want to use this one particular station. On the cons, there's a lot of cons on this. And the biggest one is the price. This piece of plastic with the little light is $40 at Amazon. $40. It doesn't come with any other cables other than a power cable. So you have to bring your own micro USB cables, lightning cables, and you have to somehow manage to fit it in this tiny channel. That to me is another con about this. No real cable management. This well could be all right, but it's not enough if you're going to pay $40. So is the Quirky Converge a try, buy, or don't buy? At $40, I gotta say it's a don't buy. It doesn't come with cables. It doesn't do a really great job of cable management. And it doesn't do a whole lot. There's also no data ports on the back. It's not like you can sync this with a device. It's not a USB hub on top of a charging station. So not enough. It doesn't do enough for $40 for me. So don't buy this. That's my recommendation there. I'm Ayaz Akhtar. This is the Quirky Converge. And back to you guys.
Thank you, Ayaz. Ayaz, of course, one of the hosts of TNT every Monday through Friday, your daily dose of tech news at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. He also does know-how, where he teaches us how to do all sorts of interesting things every Thursday on the Twit Network. Well, it's my turn to review something, and I'm going to show you something that Andy Iannocco introduced to us on Mac Break Weekly, and I was so impressed when he discussed it, I had to run out and buy it. It's the SanDisk. You may know them as a manufacturer of flash memory. The SanDisk Connect Wireless Media Drive. Now, there are two models. This is the 64-gig model for $100. They also make a 32-gig model for $80. I'd get the $100 one. Why not? 64 gigs. You know, the time wasn't so long ago that 64-gig flash drive would cost you a few hundred dollars. So you're getting 64 gigs of storage. But this is kind of interesting. You plug it in via the micro USB port, charge it up. You're going to get 8 hours on this. It has 64 gig storage, but you can also add a SD card to double that storage. I put an SD card in this little slot here with your own media. There's two reasons that's good. First of all, now we have a 128 gig storage device. Let me see if I can get this out. Well, just take my word for it. There's an SD card in there. It's got one of those spring eject mechanisms. I'm not going to work on it right now. Once you charge it up, you can power it on by pressing the power button. And here's where it gets kind of interesting. You can connect up via iOS or Android apps to this device, and up to 5 different people can stream content. So imagine this in the car. You're driving along. Kids have the iPad. You maybe loaded up this with movies or pictures or music, and now they can listen to or watch whatever they want. I'm going to turn it on here, and I'll play you, there it goes, something off of it on my iPad. So I've got the SanDisk Connect application running. Now, one thing I should point out is the way this works is this is a little Wi-Fi access spot, and what you're going to do is you're going to join that Wi-Fi access spot on your device, okay? So first let's go into our Wi-Fi settings, and we're going to search for the SanDisk device connected. All right, once you get it connected to the device, you'll see it. One of the things they do that's very cool is they have how-to videos on here. So the manual actually is on the device, but you can also play music from it. You can look at photos. This is media that's actually on my USB, I'm sorry, the SD card. In fact, I even have, as you can see, podcasts on here, so we can listen to Twit. This is streaming to me from the SanDisk device. I'll turn it up a little bit.
We're going to say goodbye to Roger Ebert, talk about the new Facebook Home, and speculate on what the next...
So up to 5 different people can use this at the same time. Let me go to video, because, of course, that's just a little bit more challenging. I'll stream a little bit of video here. And you can see, we found that it is a little tough for 1080p. Oh, that's probably not the video I want to show. Let's see. No, that's not. It was just a little
exercise.
I was
video?
Exercising. I don't probably want to show anybody that. How about, here's a little something I took on my last vacation. This is a kind of a fun video here. So you do need to use the app to play the video back. As you can see, it's loading it there up at the top. And once it's loaded, it should play back on. Oh, that's nice. Let's try another one. Now, this is one of SanDisk's own videos.
Let's see how the media drive can be used for entertainment and how you can access...
That's the problem right there. It's going to buffer. Now, that's just me. What would it be like if you had five other people watching off of here? I can't recommend it for watching high-quality videos. It just can't keep up. It's great for music. You can also do photo shows on it. And it is an awful lot of storage, which is kind of fun. But I just don't know if it's ideal for watching video. You can see there's a little bit of lag in this. I do like it. It's both Android and iOS capable, so I can watch stuff on my Android phone. And as I said, if you've got kids in the back seat who are clamoring for entertainment, this would be a good way in the car to entertain them. Also, another disadvantage, of course, while you're using it, you're not online, but that's fine in the car. Probably not so great at home. So the pros, it's inexpensive for 64 gigs at $100. It's 8 hours of battery life. It's pretty good. Easy to charge using a micro USB charger. You probably have about 100 of those. And it's very compact. The cons, it's not quite fast enough to stream high-def video. And that's a little bit of a negative. Now, here in the studio, we have more interference. It actually worked better at home where there weren't as many signals. But it's still going to be tough for a 1080p video. It's not a lot of bandwidth. So you'll have to recompress your videos to a smaller size to make sure they work well with this. But on the whole, I think it's a great deal. And as long as you understand how to use it and you recompress your videos so that they're not too demanding, if you have the need for something that can stream to five different devices at the same time, this is a really great, compact, and inexpensive way to do it. I'm going to give it a buy because the price is right. That's the SanDisk Connect Media Drive. Well, that's it for our edition of Before You Buy. I hope you enjoyed the show. We thank our reviewers, Ayaz Akhtar, Tony Wang, Shannon Morse, Chad Johnson, and of course, we thank you for watching the show. Brian Burnett is our technical director. If you want to email us, we'd love to hear from you. What would you like us to review? We'll be glad to take your email at byb@twit.tv. And don't forget, all of our reviews are up on YouTube, youtube.com/beforeyoubuy. And you can download the show each and every week at twit.tv/byb. I'm Leo Laporte. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Remember, you got to watch before you buy. Bye-bye.